copy or in the Pew Bible there in front of you on page 798 to Zechariah chapters 12 and 13. Zechariah chapters 12 and 13. And let us hear God's word for us this evening. The oracle of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it. On that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. But for the sake of the house of Judah, I will keep my eyes open when I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah shall say to themselves, the inhabitants of Jerusalem have strength through the Lord of hosts, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a blazing pot in the midst of wood, like a flaming torch among sheaves, and they shall devour to the right and to the left all the surrounding peoples, while Jerusalem shall again be inhabited in its place in Jerusalem. And the Lord will give salvation to the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not surpass that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that the feeblest among them on that day shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. And on that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadad-Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. The land shall mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shimeites by itself, and their wives by themselves, and all the families that are left, each by itself, and their wives by themselves. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land so that they shall be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness. And if anyone again prophesies, his father and mother who bore him will say to him, you shall not live. For you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through when he prophesies. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet. I am a worker of the soil, for a man sold me in my youth. And if one asks him, what are these wounds on your back? He will say, the wounds I received in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. As we have made our way through the minor prophets this fall and winter, we've been giving you the high altitude view. There is so much that is crammed into these tiny books, and our goal has been to focus on finding Christ in these texts. And that emphasis tonight will take a little bit different approach from me. I'm not going to preach the entirety of this text verse by verse, but we will remind you that these texts come at a time when Israel has been brought to the land out of their bondage. They have returned. The wall of the city has been rebuilt. The temple, though less glorious, has been rebuilt. And yet, as God has fulfilled his promises to them, as God has been faithful to them, as God has returned them as he said he would, already the priests and the prophets and the rulers are turning away. They're going through the motions. They're trying to look as if they are doing what God has asked them to do, but their hearts are far from the Lord. And so the judgment that's being announced is that final judgment that begins for Israel upon the coming of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to look at four portions of the text that I just read and answer questions that can be raised from those sections of the text. And I have a little bit of freedom to do this because we are finding our text interweaving between Malachi that we've been looking at the morning, Zechariah in the evening. Next Sunday, we will wrap up Zechariah 14 in our morning service. And so tonight, I want to ask four questions and then answer them from what we find in God's words through Zechariah to his people, Israel, in the Old Testament. The overarching idea tonight is this, that salvation comes to God's people through the wounding and ultimately the punishment and death of Jesus, the true shepherd of Israel. And it's been true in every age that as the gospel is preached, as God's requirements for salvation are laid out before whatever culture the gospel finds itself being preached in, that it is anti the presumption of the people. In other words, we like to set the rules for our lives. We like to determine what's good and what's bad. We like to set and determine what is honorable and what is dishonorable. And sometimes the things that are laid out in Scripture sound crazy. They sound crazy to those of us who believe them and love them. All the more so to a world that is rebelling against God. So in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 12, we can answer this question: how can God set the rules? See, it seems like we're reaching a fevered pitch in our culture where people want to determine what is righteous and what is good and what is acceptable. And that kicking against the goads, that rebellion that says, how can some archaic book from some God that's outdated, probably doesn't even exist, how can that be the standard for life? Why can't I determine what I am, who I am, who I love, how I love? How can God be the one that sets the rules? And the Christian response to that is quite simple. As we see in verse 1 of chapter 12, the oracle of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. See, friend, God created it all. And what's curious here about the Hebrew is that those verbals are not in the past tense, they are in the present tense. God is stretching out the heavens. He is founding the earth. He is forming the spirit of man within him. It speaks to that ongoing providential work that God is doing. That is, theologians of the past would say, if we were to slip out of the mind of God, for a split second, we would just explode. We would cease to exist. It is God who has made us and God who upholds us. It is indeed God who knows us better than we know ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of the deceitfulness of the human heart. And not too long ago, there was a contestant on America's Got Talent from Zanesville, Ohio. I know where that town is. I've driven through it many times in my life, and we need a sweatshirt from there for our son-in-law, Zane. We think that would be appropriate. A young woman who was dying of cancer, and she sang a song about the year of her life. Her husband had left her because he couldn't handle the fact that she had cancer. She was by herself showing up to this competition. The judges were shocked that she could present so well and be so